A telecommunications expert is warning the government will have to spend a lot of money if it's going to deliver the disaster emergency alert system. An independent inquiry has called for the scathing report on last year's catastrophic North Island storms recommends a total overhaul of emergency management and says the public needs a national warning system that can work even when power and cell phone networks fail. Joining us now is Paul Brislin from the Telecommunications Forum. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
What did you make? I mean, this is a big report, a lot of recommendations. Given what happened, we know what happened with the failure of a lot of cell phone towers and that sort of thing. What did you make of this?
I think the report, I'm still working my way through it. It is quite immense, as you say. I think it's a very good report. It highlights the problems that we saw on the ground on during the cyclone around coordination and cooperation between agencies. And I think that's really the real focus for this report. And I hope the government pays close attention to it.
There may be some requirements in future that there is that cell phone towers, et cetera, have to have better backup systems, right? I mean, that, surely you've probably done that already, have you, in terms of the batteries that they can last longer, they can deal with if they're flooded and that sort of thing?
Well, we've been working steadily actually before the cyclone hit to harden cell sites, as they call it. During the cyclone, we didn't have any actual real damage to the network, but losing power and losing connectivity back to the main network, that's what took us offline. So we got it all up and running within about 90 hours of getting access back into the regions that were affected. But yeah, we are upgrading the batteries, looking at alternative power sources. We're very keen to work closely with the electricity sector in particular around their plans for hardening electricity supply, because batteries really are only a short-term measure. And of course, we've got in lots of generators and lots of plans with in conjunction with the fuel sector to be able to work more closely together to get service back up and running as quickly as possible.
So what would the batteries last in an ideal scenario now?
Well, batteries, it all depends on what you're doing with them. So a battery that's not being used very much might last, 12 hours or so, 8 to 12 hours. If you cut down what the customers are able to do on the network, so you take away their ability to sit and watch Netflix, for example, and just have voice and text messages, they last a lot longer. But it's very dependent. It's like asking how long does an AA battery last? You know, it really does depend on what you do with it. So they're not the ultimate solution. They're not designed for long-term emergency use. I don't think Kiwis really want a shipping container-sized batch of batteries by every cell phone tower. I think that would probably be quite intrusive. So we've got to kind of meet in the middle somewhere and work out just what is acceptable to the community and what is useful in an emergency.
It does seem as though there's some gaps that may need to be filled by sort of analog old technology.
Well, yes, that's what the report says, and I tend to agree with them. They say you will find yourself in a situation after a big event where comms may be compromised. So the report talks directly to NEMA and to the local councils who run civil defence, but it says you absolutely need to have plans for alternate ways of communicating with the citizens in your area. So, you think of the old school police cars going along with the PA system blasting things out. After Christchurch with the earthquake, of course, bulletin boards on street corners were very useful. The council staff would literally just post up information on the bulletin boards outside community centres. And the report also makes a great deal of noise about the use of marae and the way local iwi come together during a crisis to support everyone. And we should absolutely be making more use of that that person-to-person, community-based approach. So I think there's an awful lot in there that's of huge value to
as the, look, I don't know if this is in your purview or not, but as a telecommunications expert, when you look at the criticisms around the 111 system and the limitations there, I mean, it can only take phone calls, and there's been a lot of talk in the past about upgrading this, and things got shelved. What are we in for here as a country, money-wise, do you think, to upgrade some of this technology?
Well, I don't think it is the technology in particular that needs upgrading. I think it really is the processes that sit in behind it. So the emergency alerting system, for example, that is a very useful way of getting in touch with people. That has to be fed the right information as early as possible so that you can get an alert that will help you make a decision. You know, you don't wait to be told to evacuate, but if you're waiting on it, you need to know where to go and how to get away from whatever is happening in your neck of the woods. So I think it's more about the processes that sit in behind. It's about supporting local government to be able to run civil defence in as an efficient way as possible, and also making sure that local governments treat it as a priority, because all too often planning for an emergency is something that is kind of a part-time job in some of the councils, and it's really more important than that.
Thank you, Paul. Paul Brislin there from the Telecommunications Forum.